Hello! I'm very excited to announce that we now have merchandise for Bedtime Stories with R.A. Spratt. You can order t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, notebooks and coffee cups, all with the show's new logo on it. They look super cool, so check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes for the online store, or you can go to my website, raspratt.com, and click on the merchandise banner. So if you have been enjoying the stories, please do consider ordering something to support the show and help me keep kicking this can down the road. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Well, today's story is from Nanny Piggins and the Race to Power, which is book 8 in the series, the last full book. And I'm going to read to you today chapter 7, Nanny Piggins and the Last Cake of the Romanoffs. Now, this is a special story for me, and the reason I've done it is because I've been thinking about coming up with stories I do every week for the podcast. And I remembered back, it'd be like 12 years ago now, when my oldest daughter was 2 or 3 years old, the first time I came up with a Nanny Piggins story just off the top of my head. Like, people say, oh, how do you come up with your ideas? And it's not usually a case of you just spontaneously struck with an idea, usually sort of construct an idea. But this time I was sitting at the dinner table and my daughter was fussing. And with little kids, it's always the art of distraction. And so to stop her flying into a tantrum, I started telling this story about Nanny Piggins, and I didn't know where it was going, but it ended up becoming this story that I'm about to read to you now. So it's sort of special for me because of that confidence that it took me years to get, the confidence to just tell a story. So I hope you enjoy it. Here we go. Nanny Piggins, Boris and the children were very bored. There was no reason why they should have been. They were standing in the Russian embassy. And usually embassies are fascinating places. You never know what sort of spies, important dignitaries, or looted art is hidden away inside. And even if none of those things is there, Nanny Piggins enjoyed pretending that they were. Her imagination was so vivid that playing a game where you pretend to cause an international incident was almost as much fun as actually causing an international incident. If anything, it was more fun because it tended to result in less jail time. But on this occasion, they were not enjoying themselves, because they had not come to the embassy to apologise for destroying a national treasure or beg for the release of a much-loved circus colleague. They had come for a much more tedious reason: to renew Boris's passport. There is something about the bureaucracy of passport dispensing that, even in this day and age of computers, digital photographs, and holographic watermarks, it still takes weeks for a government to issue a small cardboard book with a photo stuck inside. And even though they could easily have the television on in the waiting room, perhaps playing reruns of Nanny Piggins' favourite show, The Young and the Irritable, or they could have hired a juggler to amuse the waiting applicants, goodness knows you wouldn't have to pay them very much. Unemployment amongst professional jugglers is sadly very high, over 110%. But passport officials seem to take pride in ensuring the boredom of all those who enter their office. And passport applicants are always so anxious that they may have committed some terrible transgression, like signing their name outside the box, getting their birthday wrong, or smiling in the photograph, that they're overcome with boredom due to the stress of the situation. It's a strange fact that you're only ever bored if you are stressed. If you're relaxed and content, you can happily lie on a beach doing nothing for hours. But 5 minutes in a line at the passport office feels like 5 hours of being hit about the head with a wet fish. Normally, Nanny Piggins would have alleviated the boredom by handing around some cake to everyone in the office, or loudly denouncing the inefficiency and inhumanity of the staff. But on this occasion, Boris had made her promise that she would behave, because he really did want a passport. "I don't understand why you want a passport anyway," grumbled Nanny Piggins. "You don't need one. Whenever you travel internationally, it's almost always because you've been kidnapped. And if you're stuffed inside a crate with a pillowcase over your head, the customs officials aren't going to check your paperwork." "I want a passport," said Boris, "because I want one. I like to think that one of these days I shall rise to a sufficient level of dignity and respect in the community that someone will pay for me to sit in an airline seat like a regular law-abiding person." You could always pay for a ticket yourself, Michael pointed out. Don't be ridiculous, exclaimed Boris. If I had that kind of money, of course I'd spend it all on honey. I am a bear, after all. I didn't know bears could get passports, said Samantha. We can in Russia, said Boris. Bears are held in very high regard. We have a long historic association with Russian folklore. Plus, we tend to bite people who are rude to us. Next, called the grey, grumpy woman behind the counter. It's me! It's me! It's my turn, said Boris excitedly, as he skipped up to the counter. I'm applying for a passport. Ugh, said the grumpy woman, which means ugh in Russian. She started paging through the voluminous application form and tutting ominously at any misspellings or places where Boris had accidentally smeared honey on the document. Would you just get on with it, snapped Nanny Piggins. We have been waiting here for ages, and if my blood sugar drops any lower, I may have to resort to eating one of the stale sandwiches you have in your vending machine. The children gasped. In the entire time they had known Nanny Piggins, they had never known her to eat anything as low in sugar as a sandwich. So they knew she must be desperately serious. You bear, stand on the line, ordered the grumpy woman. There was a line of masking tape stuck on the carpet, where applicants had to stand to get their photo taken. I think you forgot to say please, Boris reminded her kindly. You want your passport, you stand on the line, snapped the grumpy woman. Boris raised his eyebrows. I think Mr. Manners needs to pay a visit to this embassy. But he went and stood on the line. You're too tall, accused the woman, as she looked through the camera at Boris's chest. How can you be too tall to get a passport? That's heightism, accused Nanny Piggins. She knew she should be behaving herself, but there was something about this official. She was so rude that Nanny Piggins had an overwhelming urge to bite her shins. Get down on your knees, the grumpy woman ordered Boris. I don't suppose you have a little cushion I could kneel on, asked Boris politely. No cushion for you, declared the grumpy woman. At this point, Boris, predictably, started to cry. How dare you upset my brother, accused Nanny Piggins. I adjust lights, said the grumpy woman, whipping out three spotlights and quickly adjusting them so they glared at Boris's face, making him wince. Perfect, she declared, and took the photograph. That's a hideous photograph, accused Nanny Piggins as she peered across the counter to see the grumpy woman's computer screen. Now you go away, ordered the grumpy woman. Come on, Sarah, sniffed Boris. I want to go home. My feelings have been hurt. But as they turned to leave, the Russian embassy's head of security was blocking their exit. It's you, accused the Russian head of security, as he pointed at Nanny Piggins. Yes, yes, it's me, said Nanny Piggins, the world's greatest flying pig. I can sign an autograph for you later, but right now would you kindly step aside? Listening to all this Russian is making me hungry for briskvit, she turned and explained helpfully to the children. That's a moist Russian sponge cake. That's not what he means. Look, said Derek, as he pointed to a notice board on the wall. There were signs warning travellers about the dangers of smuggling caviar. The tins can explode in your suitcase and make your underwear very smelly. The risks of travelling to Siberia, mosquito bites in summer and hypothermia in winter. And 10 sheets of paper, each showing a picture of one of Russia's 10 most wanted criminals. The 7th picture was unmistakably of Nanny Piggins. They found me, yelled Nanny Piggins. Quick, run! Unfortunately, embassies are not designed for making speedy exits. There are security guards and checkpoints everywhere. And while they're mainly focused on keeping lunatics with bombs out, it's a simple matter for them to turn around and keep lunatic pigs in. We're surrounded, panicked Samantha. Quick, Boris, cried Nanny Piggins. Distract them. How? Asked Boris. I don't know, said Nanny Piggins. Do some ballet. They're Russian, protested Boris. They see world-class ballet all the time. Yes, but not performed by a 10-foot-tall Kodiak bear, argued Nanny Piggins. Are you saying people only watch my ballet because I'm a bear? Said Boris, starting to get teary. Of course not, said Nanny Piggins, backpedaling frantically. I just meant that it's even more impressive that you're a world-class artist, given that you're so tall. But it was too late. Boris was weeping so hard and so loudly he couldn't hear anything else. Fortunately, however, a 10-foot-tall bear collapsing in a heap on the floor and bawling his eyes out is even more distracting than a sublime ballet performance. So Nanny Piggins and the children were able to dodge around the befuddled guards and make good their escape. A short time later, Nanny Piggins and the children were at home, under the kitchen table, and eating cake, while Nanny Piggins tried to come up with a plan. "Why are we under the table?" asked Samantha, taking a bite of delicious Victoria sponge. "In case any Russian agents look in through the window, to try and see us, of course," said Nanny Piggins. "But why did we come home?" asked Derek. "Surely this is the first place they'll look." "But they don't know our address," argued Nanny Piggins, "and I made very sure that we weren't followed. That's why we took such a circuitous route home through every bakery in the district." "I thought you were just hungry for cake," said Michael. "Of course I was," said Nanny Piggins. "Running away always builds up my appetite."
"There is one slight problem," said Boris, through a mouthful of honey cake. He had escaped and walked straight home while the guards were busy being told off by the Russian head of security for letting a wanted criminal get away.
"What?" asked Nanny Piggins. "Have you eaten all the honey cake again?"
"Oh, no," said Boris. "The cubic meter of cake you made me is the perfect size snack for a growing bear. No, the snag is they will probably be able to figure out our address."
"How?" asked Nanny Piggins.
From the passport application I left lying on the counter," said Boris.
"You left that behind?" exclaimed Nanny Piggins.
"I really want a passport," protested Boris.
"Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear," said Nanny Piggins, her mind racing. "I'm just going to have to initiate emergency evacuation plan D."
"What's that?" asked Derek.
"I'll have to run away and join the French Foreign Legion," said Nanny Piggins.
"Do they still have that?" asked Michael.
"And do they take women?" asked Samantha.
"And do they take pigs?" asked Derek.
"What right-minded military institution would turn me away?" said Nanny Piggins. "A pig with my artillery experience is invaluable. And I quite fancy moving to Algeria. They make very good sweet biscuits that are called halwat iba, which are filled with dates."
"But what about us?" asked Michael.
"I'm sure the Foreign Legion will take you," said Nanny Piggins, giving him a hug. "Legionnaires lie about their real names and ages even more than actresses."
"I don't want to do it," declared Samantha.
"What?" said everyone else. It was unlike Samantha to be so bold.
"I won't do it," declared Samantha. "I don't want to join the military. I don't want to learn to speak French. I don't want to lie about my age, and I don't want to move to Algeria."
"You say that now," said Nanny Piggins, "but only because you've never tried halwat iba. It's very good."
"There must be some other way you can avoid deportation to Russia," said Samantha.
"Perhaps if you explain to us exactly what you did to get in trouble in the first place," suggested Derek.
"Oh, all right," said Nanny Piggins. "Well, I'll tell you how it started. You know how much I hate going to museums," began Nanny Piggins. "Well, it was a rainy day in St. Petersburg, and I was wearing the most darling suede slingbat shoes. Obviously, I couldn't keep walking about outside and risk stepping in a puddle."
"It would be a crime against footwear," agreed Boris.
"I had no choice," said Nanny Piggins. "I had to take shelter indoors, but the nearest building was the Hermitage Museum."
"Oh, you poor thing," exclaimed Boris.
"What's the Hermitage Museum?" asked Michael.
"It's the largest and most impressive art gallery in the world," explained Boris. "It's full of all the great Russian masterpieces, as well as important works by Leonardo da Vinci, Raphael, Michelangelo, Caravaggio, and all the other super famous artists."
"In short," said Nanny Piggins, "it is a dreadfully tedious place, and I was stuck inside being forced to wander past one miserable painting after another until it stopped raining outside."
"So what did you do to get in trouble?" asked Derek. "Did you bump into something?"
"Or accidentally smash something?" asked Samantha.
"Or purposely smash something?" asked Michael.
"No," said Nanny Piggins, with a note of shame in her voice. "I ate something."
"What?" asked Derek suspiciously.
"One of the exhibits," confessed Nanny Piggins.
"You ate a priceless artwork?" exclaimed Derek.
"I'm afraid so," admitted Nanny Piggins. "It was not my proudest moment."
"What did you eat?" asked Samantha. "Not a Leonardo da Vinci painting. There's no way we're going to be able to come up with a money-making scheme to replace that."
"No," said Nanny Piggins. "I ate a Greta Plavatsky."
"A who what?" asked Derek.
"Greta Plavatsky was the greatest Russian artist of the early 20th century," continued Nanny Piggins. "I was wandering through a particularly gaudy gallery of Baroque portraiture, and I smelled her masterpiece."
You smelled it? Queried Samantha. My trotters were drawn to the enticing aroma, continued Nanny Piggins. I walked down the corridor into a small and dimly lit gallery, featuring one artwork displayed on a central plinth beneath a lone spotlight. What was it? Asked Michael. A sculpture? A painting? An antique? It was the last cake of the Romanoffs, declared Nanny Piggins. The children sat silently for a moment as their brains processed this, until they realised that none of them had any idea what their nanny was talking about. You're gonna have to explain, said Derek. The Romanoffs were the last emperors of Russia, said Boris. They enjoyed untold wealth and the most lavish luxury ever seen, and all while the Russian people suffered poverty, hunger, and even slavery. So what happened? Asked Michael.
Well, the people got sick of the poverty, hunger, and slavery, explained Nanny Piggins. They rose up and overthrew the Romanoffs.
Well, where does the cake come in? Asked Derek.
On the day they were overthrown, the Romanoff family were just sitting down to have morning tea, and the Romanoffs did not do things by half measures. They had the finest cake maker in the world, Greta Plevlesky, make them a chocolate cake, and not just an ordinary chocolate cake either, a 15-tier chocolate cake with exquisite handmade sugar decorations depicting an exact replica of the Winter Palace in winter. It was the most beautiful cake ever made.
Then why didn't the Romanoffs eat it? Asked Michael.
Because the Bolsheviks started bombing the palace and they had to flee by train before they could even take the first bite, explained Nanny Piggins. Boris burst into tears.
Why are you crying? Asked Samantha.
I know the Romanoffs were dreadfully mean to all the poor people, said Boris, but it just seems so cruel not to let them eat their cake.
When the Bolsheviks raided the palace, the cake was still sitting on the coffee table, said Nanny Piggins. It was put in the Hermitage Museum as a monument to the selfish extravagance of the aristocracy.
So why on earth did you eat it? Asked Derek.
Because it smelled so good, wailed Nanny Piggins. You know how good my sense of smell is. How could I be in the same room and resist such a wonderful chocolate cake?
But the Russian Revolution took place in 1917, said Derek. That cake must have been over 100 years old.
It was still delicious, declared Nanny Piggins.
The icing was so thick, it created a vacuum inside, so it was all very well preserved.
But Nanny Piggins, said Samantha, what you did was terrible. You destroyed a great work of art and a historically significant artifact.
Pish, said Nanny Piggins. The greater crime was letting the cake go uneaten. Cake is not like a painting you hang on a wall to get dusty and faded. A cake is to be tasted, chewed, swallowed, and enjoyed. That is its purpose, the greatest purpose of all. To deny such a fine cake to yield to its higher destiny is a crime. It's a desecration of a great artist's masterpiece. If Greta Plevlesky was alive today, she would have begged me to eat it. She would have picked up a cake fork and eaten it herself.
So you just reached over and took a bite? Asked Michael, in even greater awe of his nanny's audacity than he had ever been before.
Not quite, admitted Nanny Piggins. I had to jump over a red velvet rope, smash through 2 inches of bulletproof glass, and disable a state-of-the-art alarm system by bashing it with my shoe.
So the slingbacks got ruined anyway? Asked Boris.
I'm afraid so, said Nanny Piggins.
Well, what happened next? Asked Samantha.
I've been running from the KGBCD ever since, said Nanny Piggins.
What's the KGBCD? Asked Derek.
Well, you know what the KGB is, asked Nanny Piggins.
The Russian secret police? Asked Derek.
Yes, said Nanny Piggins. And the KGBCD is their cake division.
I thought the KGB was disbanded after the collapse of the Soviet government, said Derek.
They kept up their cake division, said Nanny Piggins. They take their desserts very seriously in Russia. They reserve the most ruthless tactics for dealing with cake-related crime.
Suddenly, there was a loud pounding at the front door.
Piggins, we know you're in there!
The Russian head of security boomed from outside.
We have the house surrounded! Come out now before we are forced to do structural damage to your home!
Oh, please don't let them take you, Sarah. What will I do without you? Wailed Boris. Who will explain the bits I miss in the young and the irritable when I cry too loudly to hear what's going on?
No one is taking me anywhere, declared Nanny Piggins, because I had the foresight to install an ejection system.
You did? Asked the children.
Yes, one night when I snuck down to the kitchen for a little midnight snack, I had the brilliant idea of using the fireman's pole in reverse as the trajectory controller for a massive rocket launcher.
Really? Asked the children.
It was a simple matter, really, said Nanny Piggins. All I had to do was install a remote-controlled trapdoor in the roof, get a custom-made harness, and a massive rocket powerful enough to blast me up into the sky.
As she spoke, Nanny Piggins opened the secret compartment in the laundry floor, the one where she stored honey. She brought out the rocket backpack and harness and went over to clip it to the fireman's pole.
We're coming in, yelled the Russian head of security as he kicked in the front door.
Goodbye, declared Nanny Piggins. I'll write you when I get to Algeria. With that, she fired up the rockets on her backpack and in an explosive burst shot up through the house.
The Russian agents, the children and Boris peered up through the ceiling and out through the trapdoor in the roof where they could see Nanny Piggins hurtling ever upward into the far blue sky.
She escaped, said Samantha.
We're going to be in so much trouble when the Kremlin finds out about this, said the Russian head of security.
Hmm, said Boris. I'm not so sure.
What do you mean? Asked Derek. Look at her. She's miles away.
Yes, agreed Boris. But she's gone miles directly upwards. My sister has very few failings, but one of them is not thinking two moves ahead.
True, she has brilliantly escaped the house and these cunning Russian agents.
You think we're cunning? Said the Russian head of security. That's very kind. I don't suppose you could write an endorsement for our website.
But I suspect that Nanny Piggins has not put as much thought into what she would do next, continued Boris.
What do you mean? Asked Michael.
Nanny Piggins has blasted several miles directly upwards, explained Boris. But gravity, working as it does, surely she's going to come straight back down.
They all peered back up through the hole in the roof again. Nanny Piggins was a tiny dot way up in the sky. But slowly, the dot started to get larger and larger.
Boris is right, exclaimed Michael. She's coming straight back down.
Quick, called the Russian head of security. Fetch a net.
Quick, called Boris. Fetch some sponge cake.
Why, asked Samantha. If she falls 10 miles out of the sky, she's not going to be hungry.
I bet she will be, said Michael.
The cake isn't for eating, said Boris. She needs something soft to land on.
The children ran outside with armfuls of cake. The agents rushed outside with a giant net. But Nanny Piggins was one step ahead of them all. Realizing her strategic error and dangerous predicament, Nanny Piggins had used the prevailing winds to push her towards a safe landing. Her years of experience at plummeting had made her very good at this. So as they all rushed out into the street, hoping to stop Nanny Piggins from hitting the bitumen, she saved herself by neatly landing in Mrs. Lau's fish pond with a huge kersplash.
She isn't dead, yelled the children with delight.
Pah, 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 said Nanny Piggins as she spat out pond water.
My hair does smell of fish poo, which is almost as bad.
At that moment, the Russian agent threw a huge net over Nanny Piggins.
Piggins, you are under arrest, announced the Russian head of security. We will be extraditing you to Russia to face trial for your crimes against national security.
Very well, said Nanny Piggins resignedly, holding out her wrist to be handcuffed.
Hang on a minute. What did you say I'd done?
You published top secret photographs that compromise national security, said the Russian head of security.
Nanny Piggins rubbed her snout.
I don't remember ever doing that. Admittedly, I have suffered amnesia on more than one occasion due to my tendency to get unpleasant head injuries. But usually, when I snap out of the stupor, I find I've just spent the time eating cake, or perhaps chocolate. I don't usually become a photographer and expose state secrets. So what state secrets did I expose exactly?
The Russian head of security looked sheepish.
You published a photograph of the president in his underwear.
I did, said Nanny Piggins.
And you didn't warn him you were about to take the photograph, so he didn't have time to suck in his tummy first, said the Russian head of security.
That can't have been my sister, said Boris. She would never be that cruel.
So this has nothing to do with Nanny Piggins eating the last cake of the Romanovs? Asked Michael.
What? Asked the Russian head of security.
Nanny Piggins quickly put her trotter over Michael's mouth to silence him.
Don't mind him, said Nanny Piggins. He doesn't know what he's saying. His blood sugar is low.
Samantha suddenly had a brainwave. Are you sure you've got the right Piggins? She asked.
Of course, said the Russian head of security. We have her picture right here.
The Russian head of security produced a mugshot of a very guilty-looking Nanny Piggins. Maybe you aren't looking for Nanny Piggins, said Samantha. Maybe you're looking for one of her identical 14 uplet sisters. You do realise that this is Sarah Matahari Lorelei Piggins, Samantha pointed to her nanny.
You're not Beatrice Piggins? Asked the agent. No, I am not, said Nanny Piggins. That's my morally bankrupt sister.
Is Beatrice worse than Wendy, the evil super spy, or Katrina, the lover of vegetables? Asked Michael.
She's more fun than Katrina, but she's more amoral than both of them put together. For Beatrice is a member of the paparazzi, declared Nanny Piggins.
She specialises in taking embarrassing pictures of politicians and publishing them in the newspaper.
So that's not you? Asked the Russian head of security.
No, said Nanny Piggins.
Oh dear, we're going to be in so much trouble, said the Russian head of security. I don't suppose you have an address for your sister then.
My sisters and I do not keep each other's postal addresses. We aren't big on sending Christmas cards, said Nanny Piggins.
But I think I can work out where she might be.
Where? Asked the Russian agent.
You have to understand that my sister Beatrice has a genius for hiding, said Nanny Piggins.
All her sisters are geniuses at one thing or another, explained Michael.
In her job as a paparazzo, Beatrice has perfected the art of hiding in bushes, sneaking behind parked cars, and gluing rubbish all over her clothes so she can creep up on unsuspecting celebrities, explained Nanny Piggins. She could be right here now, and you'd never even know.
They all looked about at the bushes, parked cars, and postboxes to see if any of them could be a disguised pig.
But she's not, continued Nanny Piggins. You have to think the way she would think. The best place to hide is the very last place a team of Russian agents would ever think to look for her.
The Russian agents looked at each other.
You'll have to give us a clue, said the Russian head of security.
The Russian embassy, declared Nanny Piggins.
Really? Asked the children.
20 minutes later, they were all standing in the lobby of the Russian embassy again.
Where is she? Asked the Russian head of security.
Right there, declared Nanny Piggins, as she spun around, leapt over the counter, and wrestled the grumpy passport clerk to the ground. And let me tell you, it was quite a wrestling match. It was immediately apparent that Nanny Piggins was entirely right, and that the Russian official was, in fact, one of her identical 14 uplet sisters. And not just because as soon as Nanny Piggins knocked her wig and glasses off, they looked exactly alike, but because they were so evenly matched at wrestling. They rolled about on the floor, putting each other in leg locks and beating each other about the head with staplers and other office equipment for a full 20 minutes before Nanny Piggins called a truce so they could have a cake break.
But how did you know it was me? Asked Beatrice. It was Boris's passport photo that gave you away, said Nanny Piggins.
It was so awful. No mere government official could make someone look that bad in a photograph. Only a photographer of extraordinary ability could pull it off.
Thank you, said Beatrice. So few people appreciate the artistry involved in making someone look dreadful.
But why would you risk coming here? Asked Derek. It's a lot of trouble to go to take a bad passport photo.
Oh, the passport photo was just for fun, said Beatrice. I'm on a mission.
A mission? Exclaimed Nanny Piggins. Don't tell me you're a top secret super spy too. It's bad enough that Wendy is.
No, said Beatrice. I'm on a photography mission. A bounty has been put on your head.
Really? Asked Nanny Piggins, looking up to see if there was a bounty chocolate bar sitting on top of her head that she hadn't noticed previously.
Not that type of bounty, said Derek.
Good, said Nanny Piggins. I'd be ashamed to be walking around with a chocolate bar on my head and not having eaten it.
Word has got out in the paparazzi community that one of your political rivals...
Let me guess, said Nanny Piggins, Mr. Green.
Anyway, he let it be known that he would pay top dollar for a compromising photograph of you, explained Beatrice.
You would sell out your own sister, said Nanny Piggins. I'm appalled. How much did he offer?
$50 worth of chocolate, said Beatrice.
Oh, well, that's entirely understandable then, said Nanny Piggins. I'll tell you what, I'll pose for a compromising picture if you split it with me. All right, said Beatrice happily.
And so Nanny Piggins and her sister set up the most compromising situation they could imagine. Beatrice took a photograph of Nanny Piggins eating a salad sandwich.
Won't it ruin your image, asked Samantha? It's unparalleled hypocrisy, said Boris.
It could damage your campaign, warned Derek. Pish! It won't hurt my image one jot, said Nanny Piggins. Anyone who knows me will know it couldn't possibly be true, and it must have been digitally altered. The end.
Thank you for listening. To support this podcast, you can just buy a book by me, R.A. Spratt. I'm a children's author and I've written lots of books across the Nanny Piggins, Friday Barnes and Pesky Kids series. You can order any of them through your local bookstore, or you can go to my website, raspratt.com, and click on the book depository banner. They have all my titles and free international shipping. That's it for now. Until next time, goodbye.